I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Sandra Yancey is the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. It's a successful company that provides the resource of promoting women and their businesses throughout North America. Ms. Yancey joins me now, and I'll get her to tell us about this organization that she's founded and everything that's come about in the decade and a half since. She's an award-winning entrepreneur, radio host, author, and philanthropist. She's a sought-after speaker and will, in fact, be in Vancouver Wednesday, the 11th of May, at the 7th Annual eWomen Network Vancouver Success Summit. The event is at the Arbutus Club, and you can get tickets through their website, eWomenNetwork.com. Sandra joins me now from Dallas, Texas, where she makes her home. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Sandra Yancey. Ms. Yancey, good morning.
Hi, how are you, Joseph?
Pretty good yourself.
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about today.
You're welcome. Yeah, in the research, I understand you're half Canadian. Is that right?
I am. My maiden name is Goulet, French-Canadian.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so did you come up here often? I guess you do for your work, right?
I do for work. Unfortunately, my father, I'm actually first-generation American. My mother is Mexican. Her name is Lopez. Right, and they met in the United States, got married here, had their children here, me included, my two older brothers, and unfortunately my father passed away in a car accident when I turned 5 years old, on my birthday, actually. And so I, you know, didn't have a lot of access, unfortunately, to his side of the family. You know, all of its own, every family has its own, I think, sometimes story and some more drama than others. And, you know, back in the day, many, many years ago, was not kind of cool. My mother's also half black and half white. And so it was an odd time in of racial tension, at least in the United States. And so it didn't lend well for those kinds of blended families. So I didn't get a chance to really know that side of my family very well.
Yeah. I'm sure you're asked, Sandra, about what eWomen Network is. And so I think we'll start there in terms of what do you tell people it actually does or what it is for?
Well, the E kind of stands for everything. I mean, in 16 years, we've really morphed this organization, which is now, you know, a multimillion-dollar global enterprise. We have members in six countries, 118 chapters across the United States and Canada, and we do over 1,000 events a year, one of the largest four-day business women's conferences in all of North America annually here in Dallas. And we really are a complete success system for entrepreneurs, primarily women entrepreneurs, but more and more men are attracted to our culture and our environment. We're a values-driven organization. In fact, there's not a meeting in our company where there's more than two people, where even here at the corporate office, whether it be in a conference room or even in my office, if more than two people are there, we start first always by reading our core values, so that we can let go of the clutter that's, you know, going on in our head. All of us have, I think, a lot of things that are always at play. But giving ourselves permission to get fully centered and to put ourselves in the position of receiving, because we believe that networking is really about giving, giving first and sharing always. So networking for us is more about you come to give, contacts, resources, leads, information, things that help people scale their businesses. And the nice thing about that is that if everybody's giving, everybody's receiving. So the whole circle of reciprocity really takes place, but it creates a very different culture and a very different environment.
Yeah, and it's I guess different from the sort of driven, take no prisoners, hit everyone along the way that you can corporate world that I guess we're used to or that we expect.
Yeah, I mean, I think traditional networking is about she who passes out the most cards wins, you know, and the truth of the matter is that, and I'm here proof, you know, that while we have almost 500,000 in our database today, what I can tell you is that, in social media, 100,000 across all the channels, that pales in comparison to a lot of other people. But what I can tell you is that mine isn't just an audience, it's a community. And what I want to teach entrepreneurs to understand is that you can build a much bigger business faster if you focus on the quality of the relationship and the conversation. You can take interactions and turn them into transactions any day. Women love to buy. We are the buyers. 85% of all buying decisions across Canada are influenced by women. But what I can also tell you is that we don't like to be sold to. And there's a subtle difference. And when you move too fast, all of a sudden the trust isn't there, the camaraderie isn't there. There's a skepticism behind the hurriedness. And what it does is it invokes, I think, a lot of cautiousness that actually stalls the opportunity to do business together. And so once you understand the psyche of how women buy, and you've designed a system that allows it to move with the buying patterns of women, you've got a real win-win environment.
So I'm curious to know, and I'll ask this in the context of how this all started for you. Did you find that the way the culture was, that it wasn't conducive to, say, addressing the concerns or even just listening to women?
Yes, absolutely. I will tell you that you know, men and women are different. I mean, if you believe in my dear friend John Gray, who's the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, in that notion that men and women are fundamentally different, not just in terms of our sexes, but how we are orientated, how we, you know, operate best throughout the world. It's not that one is better or worse or right or wrong. I don't male bash. I happen to love men. I'll be married, you know, 38 years, and, you know, have a great, you know, adult son right now. And so I don't believe we have to put anybody down in order to elevate ourselves. But what I know is that if you fundamentally believe that men and women are different, then the traditional networking environment that exists were created by men, because men were the ones that were really dominating the workplace at the time. And so that made complete sense, totally valid. I get it. But the truth is that if it was designed to work for the way in which men communicate as Martians, then how do we think that that's going to work for us, right, if we're Venetians? You know, and so it just took me stepping back and kind of looking at the obvious and saying, okay, we needed to really make a shift here. And and that's really what it was about. I mean, it truly is not rocket science, to be totally honest with you. But it was just really being able to step back and noticing the shifting trends of women entrepreneurs. You know, women are starting businesses at the rate of 2 to 1 to men, right? And 52% of all college graduates are women right now. And so just if you understand kind of the trends of what's going on, then you might say, how might the environment need to shift and change in order to accommodate in which women communicate?
So I think a valuable question in our culture today is what men can do to encourage more women in business, and thinking about that, do men have to change?
Well, here's what I think, I think I'm going to have an interesting response to your question, John. And so, Joseph, so what I want to say is, first and foremost, I applaud you for asking the question, what is it that men can do? But I think as women, you know, I think that one of the things that does not serve us well is expecting others to go first. You know, we're always waiting for the other person to go first. And this happens in traditional, you know, relationships with their partners, marriages, whatever the case may be. Well, if he would only do that, then I would respond this way. And what I like to do is I like to take the position of, how might I show up to influence a better relationship, right, with my male counterparts? And so I think as women, first and foremost, I will say that, you know, I just don't spend too much time. I'm immediately, repelled from women that get into a whole bunch of male bashing. I don't think that serves anybody well. I don't even find the humor in it, quite frankly. It's a toxicity that I think there is often hidden intentional messages behind very dysfunctional humor. So that's, I think, something that women can do. I think the other thing is that, you know, more and more, I know more and more men who are very different. Our sons are growing up today, and I'm certainly married to a wonderful man that for a very, very long time, I met him when I was 17 years old, senior in high school, and we got married shortly thereafter. And what I can tell you is that, you know, that I think we have to be honoring of men that really are open to a new and different way of networking, because the truth be told is that we have lots in life to learn about business, and we can learn so much from really great men. You know, so being open to that and not being so quick to be flippant and say, yeah, that's the way they do it. Not so. And particularly if your clients, I know my corporate sponsors are still predominantly male holding the purse strings of the budgets in corporate America, I have to know how to network and how to shift my behavior. I mean, you know, how you talk with your guy friends in a locker room, you know, Joseph, is probably different than how you might talk with your kids or your family or your parents. Same is true for me, just to be clear. Okay? Yeah. And so I just think that we need to know that as we shift environments, it requires a different set of behaviors. That doesn't mean that we're different. We just make different choices about how we communicate. And I need to learn from that. I think that we have a lot to learn the more we work in unison in comparison. You know, in terms of how we're different, but also how we can, you know, get our needs met by adapting from an environment to environment, I think the more successful that we will be. So I think it starts with women showing up and, you know, being respectful. I think we got to quit emasculating men. Mm-hmm. I think we've got to, you know, be grateful for the wonderful men that are in our lives. I think women overcomplicate men. I find that men are incredibly, blissfully, wonderfully, very simple creatures that we overcomplicate. And I think we just got to remember that as type A strong women, we've got to learn how to be girlfriends and wives and you know, love on our men and make sure that they know how much we adore them and appreciate them, and that it is because of what they do that allows us to do what we do. And when we step up and take responsibility for that, I think that we will see men just because of that dance shift changing, I think they will respond appropriately and accordingly. And it's just totally win-win. So I don't really ask men to do too much. I choose to show up differently, and I find that as a result of that, I have phenomenal men like Mark Cuban that comes to my office, you know what I mean, and lets me interview him and gives me great sound advice. You know, other billionaires like, you know, Hiram Smith that's coming to our conference this year that, you know, will answer the phone or a text if I text him, right? It's because of how I treat them, not how I'm expecting them to treat me.
Yeah, and I guess when we look at networking, we tend to think of how it benefits me. But, I mean, what's clear in reading up on you is that you don't view it that way, do you? I mean, you don't view a full Rolodex. I mean, I don't know if people have Rolodexes anymore, but as a measure of success, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think of my cell phone. If I lost my cell phone, I mean, paying the, you know, however much an iPhone is today, $900 or whatever, is nothing compared to what's in it, the value of what's in it. But I've developed relationships by just always coming from a place of my five favorite words: how can I help you? How can I help you? It's just like you reaching out, Joseph, to be on this interview today. I mean, wow, what an honor. You know, I mean, I would move heaven and earth for this opportunity to be with you. And, you know, for me, to honor Michaela Quilici, who is the managing director in Vancouver, who is, of all of my managing director, one of my top five. Value her so much that she's one of five chosen managing directors that are on the eWomen Network Managing Director Advisory Council. I look to her for her advice, her ideas. I value her. And so, you know, I could really easily say, like so many other people, I'm really busy and I can't carve out, you know, the time to speak with you, Joseph. But the truth of the matter is, nothing's more important to me than relationships. Everyone who makes it has a bevy of really great relationships, because nobody makes it alone, right? And you can't build a million-dollar dream, you know, if you're hanging around a bunch of, you know, minimum wage mindsets, right? So it's about, to me, moving heaven and earth on tasks. You know, you can always delegate tasks, but you can't delegate relationships. And so getting really crystal clear on what's important and what are your priorities, I think, is pretty essential. And what I know is the super successful never stop looking for other super successful people to be able to befriend. I mean, you look at, you know, Amy Schumer, right, and Jennifer Lawrence, perfect example, you know, of what happens when one reaches out to the other. And I think the men do this better than women. I think we have a ways to go. I do think we're making progress, but the Jennifer Lawrence, Amy Schumer is a perfect example, because it was actually Jennifer Lawrence that reached out to Amy Schumer first and said, boy, she saw a rising star. She saw Ricky. She saw, you know, a protege. And she's brought her along. And that speaks so much volumes to Jennifer Lawrence. I way more applaud her for that more than even being the great actress that she is. And men have been doing that so successfully and so wonderfully. Who's the next protege? Who's the next person? Let me open my little black book or my Rolodex or my, you know, iPhone today, whatever you want to call it. Let me introduce them. And I think it's important for us to simply show up. And when Michaela said to me, you know, I know this guy, really sharp guy, you know, Joseph Planta, and I want to introduce you, and I think it'd be worth a conversation, I didn't question it. Yeah. Of course.
Well,
of course I'm going to make the time to do that.
Well, I appreciate it. And so when we look at the people in our lives, because you mentioned having the sort of right people and the right mindset so that you have the right people in your lives. Well, what about people that are toxic and having to say get rid of them? I mean, is that an easy task for you?
It's not easy, but it's required. And that's the tough part, the unfun job of being a CEO, right? I mean, bless and release. You don't have to have falling out. You don't have to have an altercation. Right? You just have to begin to diminish the amount of minutes that you spend with someone. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, you can always make more money, but you can never make more time. Mm. I mean, once a minute is gone, it can never be earned back, right? But you can always make more money. So understanding that not everybody is designed to be in your life forever. And that's a real hard thing, because sometimes we drag people, you know, against their will. And as you continue to grow in your business, you will be growing and shifting and changing with it. And there just may be some people in your life right now who are in that season of their life that they're comfortable where they are, but you're not. And you need to know that they like who you are now. They're not sure who you're going to be. And that there are people in your life right now that just may not be comfortable with the person that you know that you must become. It's not your job to convince them or change them or drag them against their will. I think sometimes that's how we ruin relationships, actually. I think what's important is to recognize when your plate is full, right? And if you're already saying, Sandra, this all sounds really great, what you and Joseph are talking about, but the truth of the matter is I'm wigged out and maxed out. Well, you know, let me just tell you, you got to go back to the basis. I mean, in my coaching program, in my SOAR coaching program, I cover 6 areas of your business. And one of them, Joseph, is all on plate. What's on your plate? Because I know people that are really successful and not happy. And let me just tell you, success doesn't trump happiness by any means to me. You know, it's about really creating this phenomenal business and a life you love. And if you're all wigged out, jammed up, working, you know, all this overtime, missing out on your kids' lives and having a quality relationship with your partner and the rest of your family and your friends, something's terribly wrong. And what I know is that nobody has responsibility for your success or your happiness more than you, first and foremost. And so you've got to look at what's on your plate, and you've got to make some real clear decisions on what your priorities are, what's not working well. Move the things that aren't working well. There's 3 things you do. You do, you ditch, and you delegate. Boom. Period. That's all business is about. Do, ditch, and delegate. And when you identify what it is you're supposed to do, as a CEO, you're supposed to do only the things that only you can do. There you go. That's your priorities. Is it making the cash register ring? Is it really moving your business forward? Is it your next best path to success or your path to cash? Right? You got to do those things, and everything else becomes, you know, ditch or delegate. Let it go. Doesn't need to be. And the ditch doesn't mean to sound so harsh. You know, it's just an alliteration, you know, of do, ditch, and delegate. But just sometimes you just got to let go of things and not get so invested in, you know, giving reasons for everything that you do. I mean, you know, no is a complete sentence. I'm done is a complete sentence. But you can still do that with grace and elegance and ease. Right? It's not intent. I'm not saying it to intend that it has to be so hard and nasty and confrontive and all of that kind of thing. We can move into this just giving ourselves space so that we have room for other magnificent people to come into our lives, or we have room to go into their lives. Because the truth is, if you want access to the super successful, you know, I don't look at it like they're going to come to me. You know, I find out where they are, and I go to them. That's how I met Sarah Blakely, you know, with Spanx, you know, who, you know, was on the cover of Fortune magazine, billionaire. I went to her, You know, I'm not waiting for my phone to ring. You got to show up and you got to move there, you know, and that's why I say, you know, I mean, I'm coming to, you know, Vancouver. It's one of my favorite places in the world. Last year, I even brought my daughter, mm-hmm. you know, adult daughter who now owns her own business. I mean, you got Michaela Quilici in your backyard, who's a rocking managing director, one of the top five in all of North America. And, I mean, I can't wait to get there on Wednesday, May 11th, right? And the irony is, you and I are talking, it's so late. I think there's literally five spots left, and the thing is sold out.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't, and I expected it to be because, you know, I've heard of
these
events.
Yeah, I was just looking at tweets, and they were saying, handful of spots left and totally sold out. There's going to be over 100 entrepreneurs and business owners in attendance.
Yeah.
They're going to start a wait list, I know. And so, you know, I mean, honestly, if you're listening to this and you have a dream to be a business owner or you're a business owner and you need one of three things, you either need more cash flow, you need more customers, or you just need more people to find out who you are and that you exist. You feel like you're like this soda can floating out in the middle of the ocean. No one knows you're out there. You know, you got to circulate to percolate. You got to show up. And I invite you. I would love to meet you. I would love for you to say that, you know, you heard this conversation that Joseph and I are having so that I know, you know, where you came from. And I will personally make sure that you are, you know, hand-in-hand with Michaela and you meet her amazing leadership team and you come. Just all I ask is that you be clear. What is it that you need? It's not just customers. We all need customers. But be really clear on that profile. Be really clear on, you know, what's the one thing you could fix in your business that would give you tens of customers? Because sometimes it's not a customer we need. Sometimes we need hundreds of them.
Yeah.
But we got to fix a certain broken process or system in order to allow that to happen, right? So, or if you're like saying, I can't take on any more customers right now, I'm so wigged out, you need to come because I need to teach you how to shift your business model so that that doesn't happen. I mean, honestly, could you have ever imagined Steve Jobs saying, I have too many customers?
Yeah.
Or could you imagine Oprah saying, I've got too many viewers? Or could you imagine Sarah Blakely saying, I've got too many people buying Spanx? No, that you're just at a plateau. You're at a platform for which to launch to your next big, bold move of amazingness. But you just may not know how to do that because it's in your blind spot because you're so focused on what's in front of you. That's why you want to be, you know, at the, I think it's called Artibus Club.
The Arbutus Club,
On Nanton Avenue mm-hmm. in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Wednesday, May 11th. And what's you know what I love about what Michaela does is that she does an evening event. So, like, the doors open at 4:30.
Yeah.
I mean, schedule the babysitters, you know, whatever it is, and we're done at 9. But tell them that you're not going to be home till 10 or 10:30. You know why? Because this is what men understand. It's the event after the event.
Yeah.
It's all the little conversations that happen once it's all over. Hey, I need to follow up with you. I need to, you know, identify just five people out of over 100. Get their business card. Bend the right-hand corner because you like their energy. Not just because you can sell something to them, but because you need a power team. You need your A team. This is the place to find them. It's going to be outrageously fun and very powerful.
Sandra, you know, you're viewed as such a font of advice and wisdom for a lot of people. I'm curious to know, who do you seek advice from? And I guess after all these years of running eWomen Network, you still have to learn, don't you? I mean, that's important. That's key.
I learn every day. In fact, it's mandatory. Every one of my employees on the corporate staff are required to take at least 15 to 20 minutes. That sounds like nothing, but it's everything. 15 to 20 minutes to find something new that will help them move their position, their work forward. I don't care if they bring a book and they read a book, and I provide an actual library here on our staff. You can go onto the internet and do a search on articles or subject matters that you're struggling with, or you can go on social media, and a lot of people are giving, you know, free downloads. I know that I have a free download that's up on my website right now because I believe in everybody finding a way to really kind of master their voice. And so I took all these blogs of people that had over a million different shares and likes and that kind of thing, and I laid them out on my big conference table that has 14 chairs around it, and I just looked for different themes. And I said, oh, my gosh, here's seven consistent themes among all of these rockin' blogs. And I wrote them down, and I did a 13-minute audio recording, which is on my website. In the lower left-hand corner, it's a free giveaway. Left-hand corner, it's called The Building Blocks for Building a Brilliant Blog. And, you know, what I know is that you've always got to be learning. So I'm not only learning, but I saw something that I thought was really amazing, and I read it, and then I forwarded it to my content manager and said, you got to see this. Or I have two social media managers on staff. I forwarded and said, oh my gosh, did you see this about Facebook ads? You need to know it. So not only do I feel like I want to know just enough. I'm not trying to become a master. I've got people to do that. But I want to know just enough to ask really great questions, because what I found is that really being a great CEO is not about having all the answers. It's about having a vision and then asking really great questions. How do we get there?
Yeah.
You know, like start out there. What do we get there? And then if you've got people that are saying, well, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this, then you know you got the right group. But if you've got people going, well, I don't know, I got to, you know, then you got the wrong group. I mean, it's important that we're just taking inventory and upgrading, you know, our group all the time. It's why you progress, don't you, from, you know, grade school to high school to university. You got to progress your groups,
mm-hmm.
right? You make friends. The people that you may have met, you know, in first or second grade, you might have a couple of them left, but you've got new ones now too, right? Mm-hmm. Same kind of concept. So the bigger you get, the more you just have to be on, you know, what's new, what's different, and then be able to say, how do we do that? How does this apply to our business? What is the relevancy here? How can we take this and really shift the way we're doing things? How can we get time back by making things more efficient? How does this provide an opportunity to go bigger and better? I mean, just asking the great questions is what's important. But your team will learn to expect that when they see that you're reading up on things and then forwarding things to them. And then they know that you not only value your own learning, but you value that they learn too.
How do you view intuition, and what role does that play, say, day-to-day for you?
I think intuition is, that's a really great question, Joseph. I think intuition is absolutely essential today. And the nice thing is, as women, men have intuition too, but for women it's like a radar.
Yeah.
And you know what I can tell you is, and here's the big lesson, not all money is good money. And that's a lesson that I had to learn. You know, when we're hungry, and we all are, you know, especially in the early days when we're getting things off the ground, it's easy to, you know, close, you know, anything that moves. Right? But what I have learned is to be really cautious about. And, you know, I give credit to Dina Dwyer Owens, who is a mentor of mine. She runs a $1.3 billion business out of all places, Waco, Texas. She's in the franchise business. And she's got a book out right now called Values, Inc. And she's not only a dear friend of mine, and she's also been at the conference, but, you know, I got the book and got the book for my team. And then I flew in my managing director advisory council. We came up with a whole set of values for the company from the field perspective, and then I took my staff off for a whole day, and we worked on our values and came up with 9 core values. And here's what I can tell you about intuition, and that is, you know, your values, you know, you have to have a set of values. I wish I'd done it a lot earlier than I did, you know, in hindsight, right, everything's 2020, but mm-hmm. I do lead with this now. Figure out what you stand for, because if you don't know what you stand for, you'll fall for anything.
Mm.
And the real test of what you stand for, I think, in business is when you're hungry. You know, and what I can tell you is that taking on the wrong customer is often very painful. It's often incredibly time-consuming. And it often ends not in a very positive way, and it's often full of regrets. And remember, you can always make more money, but you can't get back more time. And so I think, you know, if you know what you stand for with a set of values, and you can test, is this right person in alignment? You know, and I'll tell you, very easy with me is, and that is, this may sound prudish, but I'm going to put it out there because this is important to me, and I learned this from, you know, Ellen,
mm-hmm.
and she said, she always said that, you know, as a comedian, she'll never use the F bomb. And she said, because to me, she said, it lacks creativity.
Mm.
And as a comedian, it's all about creativity. And so I've really thought about that. And I've just said, you know, here's the thing. I don't want to be around a bunch of people that in order to express something, they got to use the F bomb all the time.
Yeah.
I'm no prude, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my corporate career was in the paper mills and the paper factories and that kind of thing with Mead paper. So, I mean, I've been around. I'm absolutely no prude. But it really did say to me that, you know, I don't want people on my stages that are going to use the F-bomb. I don't want people that's the way they got to express themselves and they get upset. They're going to drop a bunch of F-bombs. It just so lacks creativity and it lacks clarity of what it is you really want to say. And it invites a lot of shock appeal, which doesn't impress me. And so so when I'm talking to someone and I'm interviewing someone to be one of my coaching clients or one of my star power clients, and we're in conversation and they're using a bunch of F-bombs, I actually have a client right now who used that, and we used it as a way to say, this doesn't flatter you. It's not attractive to you. Would you be open to shifting your language, and we'll help you with that message and all of that thing so that you can do a before and after comparison? And it totally transformed her, of course, in terms of how people were attracted to her versus not. And what I've learned is that I just don't want to do business with people that, you know, that's the vocabulary of choice that they want to use when they communicate. I mean, that's a very simple example. And there might be people on this call that you go, that wouldn't bother me whatsoever. And you know what? That's okay. That's why we all have different sets of values. I'm not judging that your value is right or wrong or better than mine. I'm just saying I'm getting really clear about, you know, what I stand for. And that's just something that I don't want to do. And so your values, I think, bring in many ways your intuition to the surface. It gets it documented. It's a great reminder when it's in front of you. And it's a great test in your conversation. Mm-hmm. And before we take on clients, we say, does this person fit with our values? Because if it doesn't fit with our values, then it's not good money for us.
Yeah.
And then we can make a real great strategic referral.
Sandra, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure people listening to us have as well. All the best, and this event on May 11th, as you said already, is already very nearly sold out, and I hope it's a great success for you and everyone who attends.
Thank you so much for the gift of this conversation, Joseph. I've enjoyed really, you know, this time with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The website from our eWomenNetwork.com. The event is in Vancouver Wednesday, the 11th of May at the Arbutus Club. Sandra Yancey joined me on the line from Dallas, Texas, in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.